it's time for Kelly Can Help, hosted by Jeff Kelly, attorney at law with the law office of Jeffrey B. Kelly. And now, here's Jeff Kelly.
There we go. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a fun guest today on the radio show, Lee Treadaway, somebody I used to work with many, many, many years ago. And Lee, I just love that story many moons ago when I used to work at Fuller & McKay. And before I ever met you, I felt like I knew you because Ken Fuller would say that he'd go shopping for groceries at the old Piggly Wiggly that was over there behind what is now Stanley's. And
right. He was in North Round.
Kelly, I've got to hire this boy when he gets out of law school named Lee Treadaway. Every time he went there grocery shopping, your mother was your fan, brother. You got a good mother, don't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. She stayed after Ken until he really had no choice but to hire me at Fuller & McKay. Those were some fun times.
They were fun times.
We all worked together.
So now you're doing elder law, is that right?
Well, I'm doing some wills and estates and trying to focus on elder law within that, and also a little bit on special needs trusts as well, there's a lot of overlap in that.
Excellent. So how many years have you been practicing now? It's been a while.
Yeah, let's see. I became a member of the bar in 2004, so 16 years. It goes by quickly.
Man, does it ever. Good grief, it goes by quick. So where'd you do your undergrad?
Yeah, so I went to University of Georgia and got a business degree for my undergrad. It then actually worked for about 10 years and then went back to Samford University and got my law degree over in Birmingham.
Excellent.
Yeah, undergrad was at UGA.
All right. So that's why you're a diehard Georgia Bulldog fan still.
Absolutely. Rough weekend last weekend, but
I know it. College football can be rough.
It can. I know. I'll
admit it. I'm still a Tennessee fan.
You haven't had it easy the last few years either.
It's been more than a decade, I think. It's been rough. I don't think they've been good since we worked at Fuller & McKay. Unbelievable. It's been a long time.
Well,
so now
it didn't happen to a nicer group of folks.
No mercy, huh? No mercy from Treadaway. So tell me about you didn't go straight from undergrad to law school, right? You worked a little bit in between there?
Yeah, I had about, I said 10, I think about 9 years of working in between there.
Excellent. Where'd you work?
So for most of that time, I worked for a company in Calhoun, Georgia. The company was in, did woven textiles. So I started out with an entry position in their product development area of all things, which was really not my background. But did have a little bit of manufacturing management background from college and moved into supervision there. And always knew that I wanted to continue my education and do something else.
Yeah. And, when did you realize, hey, I want to be a lawyer?
Well, actually, so I finished my undergrad in, gosh, this does seem like a long time now, 91. And about 2 years out of college, after my undergrad, I decided to apply and try to go back, then. And just the timing was not right. And, my grades the first year of undergrad were not probably what they needed to be. Scores were good, but wasn't able to go then. And but sort of always had that in the back of my mind to do. I was just, you know, always had an interest in being a lawyer and learning more about the law. And so I took the LSAT again. And gosh, I guess it was 99 or 2000, and started back to law school in the fall of 2000.
All right. Very good.
Yeah.
So now you're doing, you know, estate planning, wills, estates, elder law planning. Tell me about your typical client. What kind of needs do they have, and how do you meet those needs?
Well, there are two areas right now that I'm trying to focus on. One is for older clients who want to plan for the possibility that they may need long-term care. And, you know, obviously nobody hopes to do this, but wants to plan in the event that they had to go into a nursing home. And so there are some things that we can do with trusts that would allow them to have assets held in trust, and, you know, that could go to their beneficiaries at their death and be used for their benefit if they were in nursing home care, but at the same time would not disqualify them from, for instance, the Medicaid nursing home program. So it's a way to help folks not really become impoverished if they, like so many folks, end up having to go into a nursing home.
So, like, can you tell me, like, what's the worst case scenario? Somebody does no planning, nothing. They go into a nursing home, and then what happens?
So the if someone goes into a nursing home and you know, if they're self-paying, in other words, if they're just paying the total cost out of pocket, you know, you're looking at minimal right now around $7,000 a month. The Medicaid has a nursing home program. In other words, Medicaid will pay for a portion of someone's nursing home bill every month, but the asset limits that somebody can have are really low. So, for instance, a single person, so if you have a single person that goes into a nursing home, or a widow or widower, you know, that person can only have $2,000 in financial assets. So anything over that, they're not going to qualify for Medicaid. And so, you know, most people aren't going to have, at that age, aren't going to have $7,000-$8,000 a month in income that would pay for it. So,
right,
you can become impoverished pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen where a lot of these nursing homes, they're not going to, you know, you correct me if I'm wrong here, but they're not just going to accept anybody into their home. And oftentimes they require a joint signature of one of the children. And, you know, those bills can add up fast.
Yeah, and that's a good point you bring up. Sometimes, you know, in a adult child of someone going into the nursing home is going to be, they're going to be the person that's going to, it's going to make sure the parent gets into the facility, and will often be the person that has to sign paperwork and all that. And those folks often think that by signing, you know, they're just signing to have their parent admitted, but, it's not unusual for them to unknowingly be signing to also be responsible themselves as well as the parent. And I have a case right now, our lady I'm working with, who, you know, her father passed away, and not only is his estate liable, you know, to pay any money or assets that he had, she's also personally responsible as well. And, you know, obviously, you know, it was his care. So, it's fine that his assets are having to pay for that, but hers are as well. There are just so many things that people just don't know. And honestly, I think that most of the time, the social workers and the other staff people at nursing homes are trying to do as well as they can, but these folks, you know, they're not able to know all of the applicable rules and laws concerning this as well. So, you know, sometimes in helping a client plan, you know, we also will have to help educate some of the staff at whatever nursing home is helping them as well. Not always, but sometimes, you know, yeah, we can help with that.
So the bottom line is, if you've got a parent who needs to go into a nursing home, you do not want to sign anything, like nothing. Am I right?
Well, you certainly want to know what you're signing. You know, it may be necessary for an adult child to, for instance, sign on behalf of the parent. You know, it's not unusual for someone to have appointed their son or daughter as their agent under a power of attorney. So it's fine to sign if you're appointed that person's guardian and conservator through the court, or if you're appointed an agent under a power of attorney, you know, you can sign on their behalf, but you know, you really need to know what you're doing before you're signing personally.
Right.
In other words, you want to make sure you're not personally guaranteeing someone else's debt.
Right. I've seen a few cases where people have had to file bankruptcy because of this.
Oh, certainly.
And it's sad because, you know, the parent never in their right mind would have intended to put their child in a situation where they would end up bankrupt for their bill from a nursing home. And, you know, you can't help but wonder, wow, maybe if they'd have gone to see somebody like Lee Treadaway beforehand, years beforehand, maybe that could have been avoided.
Right. And, you know, it's important that folks know and remember too, that we have a lot more, options and a lot more flexibility if planning is done before someone, you know, falls into bad health or is looking at maybe having to go into a facility in the near future. You know, it's hard to, we don't, our options are very limited once somebody is headed that way or already in a facility. So it's important to look at the opportunities for planning, you know, well in advance of something like that happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah, I'm sure you probably see this. I know I see it where you have an older client who's like, hey, I'm in great shape. I'm fine. I do not need that mess. I'm never going to need it. That's what everybody says, right?
Well, you know, have a sense that this could happen, but, you know, it's never going to happen to me.
Right.
We all want to think that. You know, and I think the biggest thing that most people have trouble with is often this planning involves placing assets in what's called an irrevocable trust. And when you do that, you're going to generally need to appoint someone else. It's usually going to be a family member. It doesn't have to be. It can be a trust company or an accountant or somebody like that. But you're going to have to appoint someone else to be the trustee.
Yeah.
And, you know, while assets, you know, while your trust owns these assets, you can't just go and take them back out.
Right.
And so there's some, there are ways to undo that if something unexpected happens, but you know, people don't want to give up or lose control. And sometimes that means we strike a balance between protecting certain assets that we know we want to protect and keeping some assets out of a trust that we think we might either want to be able to have direct control on and use or need. So
yeah,
some of it is we just don't want to give up, you know, turn over to control to somebody. And unfortunately, what often happens is if we don't plan for it, then a family member or somebody like that has to go through the court system, a much more complicated process to get appointed to take care of things.
And more expensive too, right?
And it's more expensive, and it's, you know, there, you've got a court proceeding. There's going to be oversight for that appointed person, you know, from the court. So it gets a little more complicated and a lot more expensive.
I'll bet. So, I mean, it's just so important to plan. Let me ask you something. Do you ever have clients come in and meet with you? I mean, other than not planning, but do you ever meet with a client and you say to yourself, dang, I wish this person had come met with me sooner. I would have told them to do blank and we could have avoided this huge giant mess. Like, for example, I meet with clients all the time and they'll tell me, yeah, I've been, you know, making the minimum payments on my credit card out of my 401k money for the last 5 years. And it's just like, No, don't touch the 401k. It's a protected asset. Don't touch it. Do you run into that with elder law planning?
You know, all the time. It's fairly typical that I'll get a call, usually from a family member, sometimes from the person themselves. You know, they've got a debilitating illness. They can't stay at home. Most common thing that I see now and really during my time in this practice, you know, have been things like dementia and Alzheimer's. And so it just gets to the point where it's no longer safe for them to be at the home. The family is not able to be there, you know, around the clock. And somebody calls and, you know, their mom or dad or, you know, have just been admitted to a nursing home or they're going to have to go into a nursing home or long-term care facility. And hey, we, you know, somebody said we might need to go talk to a lawyer about this to try to do some planning or minimize, you know, the amount of money that's going to have to be spent down before they can get some assistance. And at that point, there are things we can do, but our options are much more limited. And we just can't protect the amount of assets we can. But it happens all the time that people come in and, you know, inevitably the conversation, you know, usually they'll end up saying, you know, wow, we should have come in 5 years ago or 10 years ago.
Right. Right.
And
yes. So planning is key.
It is key. And, you know, I can just tell you there's just so much, and not just in my area, but really any practice area, there's so much we don't know. You know, if we don't talk to an attorney or someone else who knows that area, but there's also so much we don't know.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. You know, I've learned about so many, like I told somebody the other day, doing this, I've learned about so many things that I didn't even know were a thing.
Sure. Yeah. So Lee, as an attorney, you know, if I'm telling my clients, hey, you need to go see Lee Treadaway to get your elder elder care planning done. What, as an attorney, what do you think your greatest strength is?
Yeah. So, you know, I really try to listen to my clients' concerns, and try to, you know, make a recommendation for a plan and try to explain it to them, you know, in a way that I'd want somebody to explain it to my father or my mother.
Sure.
You know, if they were in this situation. So, you know, I think, I don't know if it's a strength, but it certainly is.
Absolutely. It is
a goal of mine. You know, I want to create a, you know, good rapport with my clients and, you know, make sure I meet their need as best I can, but I want them to feel comfortable that that's being done.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I can testify, having worked with you for years, that you are easy to talk to. And that is definitely a huge strength, because there's some lawyers out there that, let's face it, they're just not nice. No bedside manner at all. And that is definitely not the case with you. Clients have always loved you. And I think you're in a great area to do that. So,
well, I appreciate you saying that. Thank you.
You're welcome. So you're from Rome, right? You went to model high school. Is that right?
I grew up in Rome, went to model high school.
Yeah.
And, of course, still live here. My wife also grew up in Rome. Interestingly, we went to the same schools, but she was about 4 years younger than me. So we were not in high school at the same time. I did not meet my wife until, you know, years after we graduated, but she was in my sister's graduating class and they knew each other growing up. So
how about that?
So that's interesting. And we've got four children, ranging in age from, the youngest is 5, and then our oldest is 12. So
that's wonderful.
So we're, you know how that is, having a house full of kids, Jeff.
I know how that is. I've got, you know, I've got five total now. Yeah. So
five, that's right.
Yeah. And it goes quick, man. Golly, it goes so quick. I mean,
I know,
those years just blow by so fast. And you grew up at North Broad Baptist. Is that right?
Right. Yeah. Gosh, I think my family joined North Broad Baptist. You know, when I was about 8, we left the church we were going to, and I've been there ever since.
How about that? That's where you guys still go now?
Yep.
Awesome.
Christy and I go there now, and wonderful. And my folks still go there as well.
Wonderful,
We haven't actually gotten to go there in several months, just like everybody else. But
I know, this COVID mess.
Looking forward to being able to do that again.
This COVID mess. It stinks. It stinks. Are they going to do the live nativity scene this year? Maybe not.
You know,
of COVID.
No, we stopped doing that. I think about a year or so ago.
Yeah.
It was just,
a lot of work.
Done it for many years and people enjoyed it. But, you know, we just made a decision that we were going to kind of focus on doing some other things. And
yeah.
You know, I think there's a time for everything, and unfortunately, or I won't say unfortunately, but it, you know, it was just time to, you know, to do something different.
Sure, sure. So, Lee, when you're not working, what do you do for fun? I know you like to fish. What else?
Oh, I do like to fish. I haven't fished in a long time. You know, normally we're honestly, if we're not at work, usually. We're taking kids somewhere or spending time with them. My 9-year-old son, he played football for the first time this year. And
all right.
His season, their last game was last night, and ended that up. And he's had a lot of fun with that. And it's been really fun, you know, watching him learn to play, learn the game, and practice and stuff. So,
That's good stuff.
That's been great. I've got a I've got a 5-year-old girl coming up. I think she's going to, she seems to be really interested in basketball and soccer, and seems like she's going to have some ability there. And
wonderful.
We've got a ballet dancer. We enjoy watching her when she has her recitals as well.
That's good stuff, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Lee, I appreciate you coming on the show. I look forward to taking your message and send it out to all my clients that if they've got anybody that needs a will or estate planning or any type of elder law in the Rome area, to give you a shout, buddy.
Well, Jeff, thank you so much for having me on. Glad to hear you're doing this. It's a good service you're doing for the community. Just letting people know, who's out there that can help in different areas. So appreciate you doing that.
All right, brother. You have a great evening, and you enjoy those beautiful kids. All right.
You as well, Jeff. Always good to talk to you.
Thank you, sir. Have a good one.
You've been listening to Kelly Can Help with Jeff Kelly. Reach out to the law office of Jeffrey B. Kelly today by phone 706-295-0030 in Rome, or visit kellycanhelp.com.